I'm thankful for you being here this morning to worship God. We've already worshiped God, and we will continue to worship God. I'm not studying the Psalms all the time, but I have another Psalm that I want to study with you. And that's the 116th Psalm. It's a very warm psalm, a good psalm. And I don't want to read the whole thing all the way through to begin with. I want to read the first verse. I love the Lord because He heareth my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Now, as I've told you, when we read the Scripture, we need to appropriate the Scripture. We need to take it unto ourselves. And when I read that, I want you to think about that. I love the Lord because He heareth my voice and my supplication. Now, when you read that, do you think that the idea is that He always says yes? You see that? He does not always say yes. And there are two examples that readily come to my mind. I remember that his beloved Apostle Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice, that my thorn in the flesh would be taken away. And God replied unto him, My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, He didn't remove the thorn. Instead, He said, What I have done for you and what I have given you is enough. Is enough. And Paul accepted that. So that's an impressive. But then Jesus, though He was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Though He was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Jesus prayed to God. And we can read of that prayer in the garden. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And so when the Bible says in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though He was Son, yet learned obedience. This is the obedience that is spoken of in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled Himself, becoming obedient even unto death. Even Jesus prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And God had him to drink the cup. And Jesus was willing to drink the cup. So when I say I love the Lord because He heareth my voice and my supplications, that does not mean that I love Him because every time He's going to say yes. You know, all you have to think about is think about your own self. Has God always answered every prayer you have offered to Him with a yes? No, He has not. So what am I going to do when I pray to God and He does not say yes? Do I say, well, I give up on you then? No. Because if I gave up on God, what other hope would I have? What other hope would you have? There wouldn't be any other hope. Therefore, my plan is not to give up on praying to God. Though some of my prayers, God says, no, And you know what underlies all this? A trust. A trust in God that He is going to do the thing that is best. We have to believe that. And there's so much reason for us to believe it. Could I say that God loves me? Do I have any proof of that? We just observe the Lord's Supper and the emblems of that. The bread represented Jesus as He died. The fruit of the vine represented His death likewise. I think that both of those emblems represent His death. Well, we drink the fruit of the vine, symbolizing the blood shed in His death. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, yes. I have the evidence that God loved me. And I say again that if you read, even if you just read the text in the Bible about the crucifixion and read what is said about it, then you can see that, yes, an enormous love. That word so. Or God so. And that word so means in this manner. He demonstrated His love for me. So when I say I love the Lord because He heareth my voice and my supplications. And another thing, as we think about that, has God refused most of my requests? No, He's not. No. He has answered me again and again and again and again. So I can, in all good conscience, read this and say, this is mine. This is mine. I can say that. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. And the next verse is basically the same, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. He's, listen, lean over, inclined His ear to hear what I say. You know, we can read a psalm like this and fail to appropriate it. I want you to appropriate it. Don't miss it. Don't miss any of this. Now the psalmist tells of his troubles. Oh, the cords of death compassed me. The cords of death wrapped around, tied up, so that he couldn't get free. They compassed me. The pains of Sheol, and that word basically means death. The pains of Sheol got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I was in trouble. Have you ever been in trouble? And again, I already know this congregation well enough that I could go around the various ones of you and I could say, yes. Yes, God, you've been in trouble. The cords of death have compassed you. The pains of Sheol have gotten hold upon you. I found trouble and sorrow. You've been there. You've been there. You haven't died, but a lot of you have been close. So he says, then I called upon the name of the Lord. And this theme runs in many of the Psalms. Then I called upon, I was in trouble. I was in trouble. I was at the end of my rope. What did I do then? I called on the name of the Lord. I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Sometimes we hear of somebody that says, well, there's nothing left now but prayer. Have you ever heard anybody say that? There's nothing left now but prayer. You don't want to say that, because that means, well, I don't have anything else. Well, you may not. But prayer is not to be discounted. Prayer as a tool is not to be discounted. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. God preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. And He saved me. Again, I know a lot of you that were brought low. But you were saved. You were spared. I hope you're thinking of that. I hope you're thinking of the time when you were brought low and you were spared. I can certainly think of times when I was spared. And this verse 7, return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I love that expression, and I see it in other verses in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. My soul is that inner part of me that has my concerns up front. And so I tell my soul, don't worry about that, O my soul. Don't worry about that. We need that, don't we? Don't worry, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I really hope you're thinking about this, because I could think of you and I could think of examples that I know in your case. Think about it. You delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears. I can even think of those of you whom I know have shed tears because of something that was concerning you. And you're still here. You're still here. Then he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And what that means is, in this life. And I've told you before about Gardner Hall, the old Gardner Hall. There's a young Gardner Hall. The old Gardner Hall. And he was visited when he was in the hospital. And he was basically on his deathbed. And somebody said, well, I see you're still in the land of the living. He said, no. I'm in the land of the dying. But I'm going. The land of the living. We're in the land of the dying as well. But he uses this expression to say, while the heart is still beating, we're still functioning, we're still alive. That's what he's saying here. So I appreciate that comment from Brother Hall years and years and years ago. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You're walking before the Lord in the land of the living. I'd always be aware of the fact that we have no idea how long we'll be in the land of the living. And to me, to me, it's not a sad thought, because you know what is ahead? Heaven. So we think the land of the living. I walk in the land of the living, but I'm going to die. Is that sad? No, because there's a better life waiting for me. And for you, a better life. Then he says, and this is quoted in Romans chapter 3. He says, I believe, I will speak. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Now, in the footnote here, he says, I believed when I spake thus. And we have a twofold thing, because the Apostle Paul uses this verse when he says that all men are liars. And he's contrasting the idea of all men are liars. When you compare all men to God, how do all men compare to God? Is any man, I always speak truth, always speak truth. Anyone want to say that? No. But who does always speak truth? God always speaks truth. Therefore, Paul makes the point that therefore when God judges, he is righteous in his judgment. Because compared to God, all men are liars. But in this context, when he says, I was greatly afflicted, I said in my, and sometimes we have the word haste. I don't think haste is the best word here. In this psalm, I think it meant my urgency. I said in my alarm. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. Then he says, what shall I render? Now listen, here we have a different thing and we need to ask about that. See, you have an answer to give to this. Every one of you has an answer to give to this. And you may say, I don't think I'll answer that. Oh yes, you will. You may sit there and say, I'm not going to answer. You will answer. Not because I'm going to make you, but because there is an answer. And you're going to give that answer. So when you deal with God, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Now take that one. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Would you like to list the benefits that you have from the Lord? Or would you like to say, oh, the Lord never done anything for me? Huh. I've actually heard people say that. And they were breathing. They were breathing. And they were walking on two legs. And they had grown up to be a grown person. What has the Lord ever done for me? Oh, I know that sometimes you suffer. We all suffer from time to time. But I would like to ask, can you, if you started naming blessings, sometimes I think it'd be a good idea just to start listing blessings. Even if your life, if there are some things in your life that you're not happy with, there are some things in my life I'm not happy with, but I can still list a lot of blessings. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? So now we have an answer. The psalmist gives an answer. Once again, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Answer, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation. The cup. What does this cup have in it? Salvation. Who is this cup from? It is from the Lord. It is from Jesus Christ. And Jeff, I appreciated your prayer this morning, because as you talked about the sacrifice of Jesus, you also used the idea of the death. He died a death. He didn't just, we talk about shed His blood, but He gave a life. That's the whole idea of the shedding of the blood, is that life was given. I will take the cup of salvation. As I think about Jesus, you reckon He knew this song? Of course He knew this song. Was He aware that the cup of salvation would be extended from Himself to all mankind? In 1 John 2, He died for the sins of all men. But all men do not get that blessing unless they come and pick it up. I made the point that yes, Jesus died for all men. And I've used the example of a letter. You got a notice. And the letter told you that a package has come for you. A package has come for you. But what must you do? You have to go pick up that package. And if you don't pick up that package, then you don't get the package. It is necessary for you to come and pick up that package. And I want to tell a lot of you, you have a package. You have a package waiting, because the Lord has poured His blood out, shed His blood, given the sacrifice. You have a package. You're going to have to pick up that package. You're going to have to go to the post office and pick up that package. What that means is, you're going to have to come to the Lord and accept the terms that He gave. You're going to have to believe in Him, that He is the Son of God. You're going to have to repent. Confess His name. Repent of your sins and be baptized for your salvation. That is the way the cup is given today. So I say again, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? I will take the cup of salvation. Have you already taken the cup of salvation? Do you realize where that puts you? You're saved. You're saved. When you ate the Lord's Supper, was one of the four thoughts that went through your mind, I am saved. If I were to die today, if I were to die this evening, I would be saved. Do you think that? Oh, I want it for you. I want it for you. Then He says, and this is a thing that's repeated in verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord, yea, in the presence of all His people. Ever promised anything unto the Lord? The language here calls that a vow. Have you ever vowed anything? In other words, made a solemn promise unto the Lord. Lord, if You will help me do this, if You will give me this blessing, then I... Didn't you make a promise? How many of us have done that? What this is saying is that I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Yea, in the presence of all His people, all of you, I address you. Have you paid your vows unto the Lord? Did you make a promise unto the Lord? Are you honoring that promise? You may have said, well, I made a promise, but I haven't kept it. I don't think I've done it. I don't know if I'm going to. Do you know where that leaves you? L-O-S-T. Lost. I don't want you to be lost. But more importantly, God does not want you to be lost. But you are. If you made a promise to God and you haven't kept that promise, you haven't honored God. And I'll tell you another thing. If you have made God a promise and you've ignored that promise, do you care to ask what's going to happen the next time you make a promise to God? You want to think about that? We don't want to think about that, because when I make a promise to God, I need to honor that promise. All of us need to honor that promise. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. And this verse is a precious verse. It begins with the word precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I think that's one of the sweetest verses. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. When a saint of His has died, how does the Lord regard that? You see that? Precious. Precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. He knows that it hurts us. It hurts us to lose this person. But, you know, He doesn't say, well, I don't care. It really doesn't matter to me. He sympathizes with us and with our sorrows. He does that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. He knows what that costs us. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. You want to read that verse? Not out loud. Think about that. You want to say, O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant, the son of Thy handmaid. Do we want to say, Lord, truly, I am Thy servant? What do we need to think as we say that? Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. We need to be sure what we're talking about. In verse 17, I will offer thee the sacrifice. Notice, there are lots of sacrifices that could be offered. Blood sacrifices of various kinds. Here he says, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. As we think about the sacrifices that we offer unto God, do we ever think about the sacrifice of thanksgiving? When we do that, that means we thank God for what has happened to us, what has been done for us. We thank Him. That's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so we usually think of that as a New Testament idea, but here it is in the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament idea. It's a Bible idea. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. You have freed me. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord just doesn't mean Lord, 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 Lord. It means worship Him. That's what it means. In the New Testament and in the Old, it means to worship Him. I will call upon the name of the Lord. in worship of Him and in service to Him. My brothers and sisters, we need to give that sacrifice to the Lord. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Then he says again, he repeats this, I will pay my vows unto the Lord, yea, in the presence of all his people. Now, this is the second time that that particular sentence is repeated. And then he closes, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, and then closes with praise ye the Lord. And you all know what that is, don't you? Hallelujah. 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 Praise Yah, the Lord. Hallelujah. Be aware when we sing a song with Hallelujah, we're saying praise the Lord. And sometimes when somebody says, well, Hallelujah, they're really using the name of God in vain, probably. Because they're just meaning, well, wow, I'm really glad about that. There needs to be more to it than that. Praise ye the Lord. So what a wonderful psalm. And it begins with the psalmist just saying, I love the Lord. And then he tells why. Then he tells what his plan is going to be and what he's going to do because the Lord has blessed himself. So this is a very appropriate psalm for us all to look at and to appropriate for ourselves. So I beg you to do that. And when I say that, I mean for me and for you. I never read a psalm, but what I think this is speaking to me. This is the Word of God. Do you owe the Lord anything? I ask you all, do you owe the Lord anything? Are you going to pay it? Can you pay Him back equal value for what you have received? No. And He's not asking you to do that. You know, basically, what He's wanting you to do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate what you've done for me, Lord. I can't pay you back, Lord. But thank you. Thank you. So, what is your situation? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you confessed Him as Lord? Have you repented of your sins? Then you need to be baptized under the removal, the remission of your sins, and be saved. And then you will have the salvation of the Lord. And you can count on that salvation to your grave. If you're subject to the invitation, we hope you will come as we stand and sing.